Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This episode looks at the developing style of director Steven Soderbergh. I hope you enjoy the show. Steven Soderbergh burst into the film world with Sex, Lies and Videotape in 1989, and he hasn't looked back ever since. He's relentless in his search for new ways of expression in the medium, and I'd like to devote this episode to showing you what he's achieved in the 30 years since he began. He was born in Atlanta to parents with Swedish, Irish and Italian roots, and then moved to Baton Rouge, where his father became a professor at Louisiana State University. Then at the age of 15, he enrolled in the animation class and began making 16mm films. He went to Hollywood and worked as an editor for a while, then returned home. The rock group Yes employed him to make a live film of their performance, which won him a Grammy Award. He then expanded a short film he made into Sex, Lies and Videotape, which gave him recognition at Cannes and a Best Screenplay nomination. The film looked at sex in a different way and gained a reputation for highlighting voyeurism, which was considered aberrant behaviour at the time. The film starred James Spader and Andy McDowell as the perfect upwardly mobile couple who supposedly have everything. After Sex, Lies and Videotape came King of the Hill, an observation of a young boy who is forced to fend for himself in a seedy hotel when his mother is put in a sanatorium and his father becomes a travelling salesman. What's more, he's got a kid brother to look after too. He's very resourceful and it's an entertaining ride seeing how he copes, and much lighter than you'd imagine given the subject matter. Even back then, Soderbergh realised that the main objective is to entertain your audience. Hold that tiger, 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 hold that tiger. Where's that tiger? Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. Where's that tiger? Here's that tiger. Here's that tiger. Here's that tiger. Here's that tiger. The Limey in 1999 starred Terence Stamp as a career criminal who goes to LA to find out who was responsible for his daughter's death, supposedly by suicide in a car crash. He tracks down her ex-boyfriend, a successful 60s record producer played to a T by Peter Fonda, and cannot be discouraged regardless of how much muscle is thrown at him. It reminds me of Get Carter, in which Michael Caine goes up to Newcastle from London to discover what happened to his brother and spends the whole film feeling out of his comfort zone. I wonder if Soderbergh had that film in mind when he made The Limey. Erin Brockovich followed in 2000, in which Julia Roberts discovers a big power company are trying to buy up land they have polluted with chromium. Albert Finney co-stars as her lawyer boss, and the film is based on a remarkable true story. Julia Roberts became the highest paid actress at the time, breaking the $20 million mark. The film had 5 Oscar nominations, and Julia Roberts won the Best Actress award.
them someday. Fire rages in the streets and swallows everything it meets. It's just an image often seen on television. Come leaders, come you men of great, let us hear you pontificate. Your many virtues laid to waste, and we aren't listening. What do you have for us today?
Soderbergh had time to make Traffic the same year, which won him the Best Director Oscar, as well as three other Oscars. I've read one review of this film in which Soderbergh is likened to Jackson Pollock, the artist, splashing different colours onto a canvas. It may sound far-fetched, but it does have a resonance as you watch the intermingled stories of a judge, his drug-taking daughter, a drug baron and some DEA cops taking place across America and Mexico. Michael Douglas, Benicio del Toro, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Stephen Bauer, Don Cheadle and Louis Guzman all give exceptional performances to glue you to your seat. Miss this at your peril.
Sidewalk, talking, moving, looking, stopping, farting like a dog, barking. You know the raindrops keep on landing on my face like Spenta, each one branding me, showing me who I am. Don't give a damn. You know you got me walking to your club land again, looking through the smiles, each one a friend.
None of them, none of them.
And this is also demanding. Cause I might have a million dreams and then awake, I pray the Lord, my soul to take. wanted to be right. Now the day is coming and the party people start their running home, as if they'll miss being all alone. Leave me all to dry, hang me on for a line and I'll tell you no lie. Too much pressure is sending me, and the raindrops land on me. Can't you see, can't you see, can't you see, can't you see? I'm going under, I'm going under.
Two years later, he decided to remake Solaris, Andrei Tarkovsky's classic sci-fi film. It was ambitious to attempt, but he managed to pull it off pretty well. George Clooney visits a deserted space station that's orbiting Saturn to find out what's going on. He's subjected to hallucinations of his dead wife, and has Nietzschean thoughts about existence and the human condition. But who is responsible for all this? It's a refreshingly successful remake, in my opinion, and I was relieved not to be disappointed by it. Meanwhile, Soderbergh churned out the odd blockbuster, Ocean's 11, in order, no doubt, to pay for his more personal projects. In 2005, he gave us Bubble, a study of a murder in a small town in the Midwest, full of normal people doing normal things. The characters work at a small factory that manufactures dolls. In this film, Soderbergh pulls back the camera and simply observes people and their behaviour. The cast were all non-professional actors, and most of the script was improvised, harkening back to the days of German neo-expressionist cinema in the 60s and 70s. A brave film to make. You could almost believe this to be a documentary. It's so understated. He continued in this vein with The Girlfriend Experience in 2009, in which he follows a high-class escort girl, Chelsea, played by Sasha Grey, around New York, and we see just exactly the kind of situations that present themselves to someone in that line of work. It's again in the style of a documentary, and it's fascinating.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, another blockbuster followed, Ocean's 13 this time. In Side Effects in 2013, Jude Law plays a psychiatrist who stumbles across some unexpected side effects of a drug he prescribes to a patient, played by Rooney Mara. This is quite a thriller, full of unexpected twists and turns. I think this is the best I've ever seen of Jude Law, and Rooney Mara is also very good. Top-notch Soderbergh at the top of his game. Unsane in 2018 was the first feature to be shot almost entirely on an iPhone. I had no idea about this until after I'd seen it. It's a taut thriller about the perils of the American healthcare system and what can happen if you're not careful. Claire Foy is the central character who runs foul of health insurance and finds herself literally unable to leave a hospital after entering for some routine tests. Juno Temple is almost unrecognisable as an inmate of an asylum she gets transferred to. Soderbergh even managed to make a great film during lockdown called Kimmy in 2022. It stars Zoe Kravitz as Angela, an OCD software specialist in Seattle whose job is to monitor and report on subscribers to an Alexa-style AI network called Kimmy. By accident, she stumbles upon evidence of a murder and gets the feeling she's the only one who wants to get it investigated. Angela's behaviour during lockdown puts one in mind of Soderbergh's earlier film Contagion in 2013, in which he predicted much of what actually happened in 2019. Soderbergh had this to say, I quote, "It's just a reminder of how deeply irrational we are. When we're put into some sort of fear threat space, we become deeply illogical."
Can't take it back once it's been set in motion.
He's made 50 features so far in 30 years, so I've obviously had to leave out some films that others feel should be included. But I wanted to highlight the films that I've enjoyed and found interesting. He's not afraid to experiment, and I like that. I'm really excited by the direction Soderbergh's films are heading at the moment, so let's hope he continues to follow his rich imagination and give us many more modern classics to watch. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.